welcome to a special edition of the Fox Football Podcast on the cusp of season 15 of the Hyundai A-League season 2019/20. And joining me in the studio for an in-depth look at all 11, not 10, 11 clubs and what we're looking forward to on the pitch and the big storylines about all of the clubs involved. It's a hello to Simon Hill.
We're teetering on the brink of the new season.
We are.
We're on the precipice of it.
Can't wait. Yeah. And a man who's on the precipice of a lot of things because he just got engaged. Daniel Garb. Congratulations, Garby.
Thank you.
Well done, Garby.
What am I doing, lads?
Punching above your weight, boy.
Well, I am well and truly punching above my weight. Don't worry. At the moment, the wedding might be in Bowral, which would be fitting because, as you know, he averaged 99.94 and I'm certainly batting above my average. So
yes,
we thought that would be a fitting location.
We're going to change your middle name to Bradman.
Or just Sir Daniel, that'd be nice.
Donald Garb.
Yeah. Thanks, boys. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but it's been a bit of fun.
That's just normal. Up and down, just roll the punches, Garby. That's all you got to do.
Thanks, just say yes and keep your head down.
That's a ringing endorsement. I hope your wife's listening to this.
She knows. Let's get into it, eh? We're going to go alphabetical order in no particular order, so we're not accused of bias because the best is, and it's going to happen again, Simon, when you commentate a game, you'll be accused of being biased against both clubs, and that's when you know you've done your job. But we're going to get into all 11 clubs. At the end, we'll have some predictions. We've got some interviews coming up as well. As we sit here right now, the Hyundai A-League launch was this morning, and we caught up, Simon and I caught up with a couple of the players. But we'll start with Adelaide United. And a bit of a theme about this season is the intriguing nature of the new coach. And Adelaide have certainly got that, and they've got, it seems, an intriguing human being to be that new coach. They've had a great cup run. They're into the cup final again. Hurten Verbeek, what's he going to bring to the Hyundai A-League with the little inkling that we've got through the cup run that they're on, Simon?
Well, the best thing he's going to bring is that he's a fan of Led Zeppelin. So I love him already. He's got the wild hair. I think he's got the wild look in his eyes as well. So I think it's going to be a very different Adelaide United this season. The one thing that has remained the same is that they've reached the cup final again. So they've been very consistent in that competition. There's not been a huge amount of change. The two big absentees, of course, from last year are Craig Goodwin, their top goal scorer, and Isaias, who was the man who basically ran the show. Yeah. So I think this year, you know, a lot of responsibility on Riley McGree, which I think is great because Riley...
He's only
20. And to be honest, you know, he's almost back where he started, isn't he?
Yeah.
No disrespect to him. I know he went to Bruges, but he didn't play there. Came back to Newcastle, Melbourne City. He was sort of in and out last year. I think he'll thrive on this responsibility in that area of the pitch. The big problem as ever for Adelaide is going to be who's going to get the goals. Now, I actually think they've got a much better chance of finding goal scorers this year. Not only upset the Norwegian that they've signed, but this kid, Al-Hassan Toure, I really, really like.
What I like about Adelaide is they seem to have a stronger South Australian feel going into this season. McGree's a South Australian boy. James Treasy's one of their finest Socceroo products, Adelaide boy. And then Brucey Jatte, who, of course, made his name with the club, coming back as director of football. Yes, he's not on the pitch, but I think he's really strengthening that culture at the club. Look, I'm not sure if they're a team that I'd classify as a contender, but they're like the Adelaide of the last 3 to 4 years. You don't know what they're going to provide, but on their day, they'll match it with anyone, as we've seen in the Cup again, the Cup specialists.
Hearing Verbeek, he's not afraid to give a kid a run, as we've seen with Al-Hassan Toure, loves him. He's going to start the first game of the season against Sydney FC on Friday night. Just the thing for me about Adelaide, which will define them this season, if we get to, say, the midpoint of December and go one way or another, they're missing SAS, or, they're not missing SAS, that's the key. If they can somehow find a way with Boland and Leah, and I think it's Dorigo, the other young player coming through, that he might give game time in that role. If they can cover for Isaias there, they can maybe profit elsewhere on the park, but a big loss.
The other issue for Adelaide in that area of the park is that, of course, in January, the Oli Roos play their qualifying tournament. So Riley McGree, provided he's not injured, in which case he won't be playing for Adelaide anyway, he'll be away with the Oli Roos for the best part of a month. So that's a big hole to fill. I'm hearing that Verbeek may still make one more signing, maybe after the season starts now. We're told somebody from China, maybe a second or third division player in China that will come in. Maybe that's another defensive midfielder or a defender, I don't know. But look, I don't mind the look of Adelaide. I'm a bit like Garby. I don't think necessarily they're going to win it, but I think they've got more than enough ability to cause a whole lot of problems at the top end of the table.
Finally cut themselves free of Diawara, as much as he tried. Like, I mean, it was just a waste of money, let's be honest.
Brisbane. Now, this is a fascinating, fascinating, I won't call it an experiment, but a period in the club's history. Disaster last season, unmitigated disaster. So they bring in Robbie Fowler, and he brings in some players from the yard, which he knows very well, the British Isles, which is fair enough, and all these contacts over there. So he's brought in players. I saw them in the FFA Cup at Leichhardt Oval against Sydney FC, and I was immediately impressed, not just in the fact that they won the game, but the way they went about it, the togetherness that you got the – you know how sometimes you've been around, you get the vibe that all's not well in a camp just by pre-game, who's talking to who. Get the feeling that they're a very together group. Stephen Moore, Ramin Akbari, two young Australians. Get your Australian players right. You're halfway there in the Hyundai A-League. Garby, Liverpool man, you love Robbie Fowler as a player. Do you think you're going to love him as a manager?
Mate, they're a bigger mystery than the Loch Ness Monster coming into the season, Brisbane. You don't know what is going to happen with them. But all you can do is praise what they've done so far. And what I love about the players they've brought in, and we don't know how good they are going to be, Tom Aldred, Aaron Amati Holloway, Macaulay Gillespie, Max Crocombe, Jay O'Shea.
Crocombe?
How do you say it?
Crocombe?
Is it Crocombe, is it?
Yeah. Good story about Max, Salford City.
Yes.
You know it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a bunch of unknowns in that sense, but if three or four of them turn out to be successes, then great. But what I love about it is he got it all done early. He said, these are my players. He didn't mess around for 2 months. He went, these are the boys I want. And they were here 6-8 weeks ago, preparing, getting ready. Tom Aldred, the new captain, he has stabilised that squad as much as you can with the turnover they've had, as early as possible. One man I forgot to mention, is Brad Inman. I reckon he'll be a very good signing. Guy who was in the Socceroos only a couple of years ago, scoring goals in League One. I don't know what happened and why it fell away for him in England, but an Aussie player with potential who can get forward from midfield and score goals. It is so hard to know what Robbie Fowler and the Roar will be able to produce because Fowler's still an unknown as a coach, but it's hugely exciting.
Mm. Before I get Simon's thoughts, might throw to your interview that you picked up with Roy O'Donovan at the season launch. Here's Roy with Simon, and I'm not sure if there's any accents coming from Simon.
So, Roy, new colours this year. What prompted the switch?
That's just part of the job sometimes. New challenge, get me out of the comfort zone, and it's a challenge I'm excited about, and I like the colour orange.
Suits you. Yeah. What about the heat up there in Queensland? Slightly different conditions. Do you think that is something that the Roar need to make work in their favour?
I think so. Going there as an opposition player, the humidity factor, definitely it's a tough place to go, especially back in the day when they used to keep the ball for fun and felt like you were chasing shadows. So hopefully we can tap into that this year and win some games up there because it's an intimidating place, Suncorp, against a good team.
Talking about keeping the ball for fun, is that Robbie Fowler's ethos?
Yeah, it is. He wants to keep the ball. He wants to obviously score goals. That goes without saying. But possession is key, definitely. And in pre-season, there's been a lot of work on possession. And so far, so good. We've recruited pretty well. Got some really good midfield players. And I think A-League fans will be very surprised and excited this year.
Awful lot of change at Brisbane, of which you're one, of course, of the incoming players. A lot of players from the lower leagues in England. That's attracted a little bit of comment and criticism. Yeah. You played with them. How good are they as a unit?
Very good, yeah. I suppose the gaffer wanted some steel coming in there. So defensively, the likes of Tom Aldred, Macaulay Gillespie come from League One and Scottish Premier League. It's, as you will know, it's not very pretty on the ice sometimes, but very effective. So they're physical, they're fit. So in that regard, perfect. The likes of Jay O'Shea coming in, like a midfield player, number 10, rather than a Spanish name or an Argentinian name. Obviously, it doesn't excite people the same way, but when you see him play, he's the real deal. He's a good player, and A-League fans all around the country will be very impressed with the players we've brought in.
And it helps for you, of course, having another Irish guy there as well.
Yeah, well, at least somebody understands me. Anyway.
Robbie Fowler, I'm sure, understands you as well. I don't know if he was one of your heroes. Probably not that old, are you?
Yeah. But,
I guess, working under him is great for a striker. Have you learned things off him already?
Absolutely. Look, he was a hero of mine. I was one of the generation that collected Premier League stickers, so he was a top player in the early days of Premier League. And yeah, he was a great striker, and to work with him is great. You know, even yesterday doing shooting drills, he's giving me little tidbits of, you know, movement and stuff like that. You know, little bits of information, but they're great. You know, if I can even get another 1-2% better than I am, brilliant. It's great. So yeah, he's been tremendous for me so far, and hopefully more nuggets of information as we go along.
Was Liverpool your club growing up?
No, it wasn't. I was Man United, Roy Keane, Dennis Irwin being from Cork. So, yeah, so we fell out early doors, but we're fine again now. The season's about to start. Robbie's fine about it now again.
You've scored a lot of goals in the A-League for your clubs, the Mariners and the Jets. Do you set yourself a target pre-season, or is it always just double figures or as many as I can get? Or do you think, no, this year I want 20 or 50?
I think that like that every year, yeah, definitely. But you set out every game to score a goal. You know, it doesn't always work out like that, but that's for a striker, you want to score in every game, and this year I want to score more than I've ever scored before, definitely. So I think we've got the ammunition behind me to do that. So I'm not going to give you a figure, as I've been around too long for that, but I want to score more than I've scored before, definitely.
What about the defensive side of the game for Brisbane this season? I think the Royal conceded 71 last year, which is even more than the Mariners with respect to them, because they finished bottom. Has that been something that Robbie's targeted a lot in pre-season, trying to tighten up defensively?
Hugely, yeah. And even with our defensive shape from the front, you know, we've been doing a lot of work as strikers to help that out as well. I mean, we're certainly not going to be any walkover this year. Even games we're not going to be playing well, we're going to be competitive. We're going to be a little bit ugly at times, you know what I mean?
Shit, that's not fine.
So that's a great ringtone.
Archie Thompson's phone ringing in the background. That's a red card, Archie. Yeah.
Don't worry, be happy. You're living the dream, Archie. Love it. But we're going to be structured. We're going to be fit. We're going to be organised. And there won't be 71 goals going in against us.
Roy, wish you all the best. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Simon. Thank you.
You must have been tempted, just because your Irish accent is very good. Your Northern Irish is very
good. Oh, it's not so good, you know.
I'm not sure how it would have gone with Roy, but yeah, how was Roy?
He's a good boy. What wouldn't have minded.
What did you pick up from Roy this morning, and indeed any other the Brisbane notes? You called the cup game against Central Coast as well.
Well, Roy's very positive, and look, we know that he can score goals in the A-League so long as he gets the service. I think he will. Like you, Garby, I'm impressed with Brad Inman. I saw him in that cup tie against the Mariners. He was very good that night, scored. And Brisbane overall played some good football. Unfortunately, they still leaked two goals. Mm. And that is again going to be the problem. I like Tom Aldred. He's a beast of a central defender. He's massive.
Broncos are going to sign.
And he will organise that defence. There's no doubt about that. But whether it's cohesive enough to stop the leaks that appeared, you know, like it was like the boy trying to put his finger in the dike, wasn't it? Last season, 71 goals they conceded, which is more than the Mariners, who finished bottom. So I think that's the big question mark against them. Also, a lot of these, you know, players from the UK, they'll have never played summer football before, certainly not summer football in Brisbane.
Wow.
That's good. So you'd hope and you'd trust that Robbie will have them fit and prepared for that. And, of course, the harder grounds where they can pick up injuries. If you only have one or two, you can maybe carry that. Mm. But when you've got five or six, as they have from the UK, you know, that can be a problem with injuries. But I think Brisbane are going to have a better season this year. Goodness me, they need to. Again, whether they're going to be quite good enough to challenge at the top of the table, I've got my doubts about that.
Tell you what I really rate, though, about Brisbane, what they've tried to do off the park or have done off the park. They've taken a few games to Redcliffe.
Very good.
Away from Suncorp. You call them lower profile matches, but they're still going to get a really good crew there. And it's a really smart move by the club.
Fowler has done everything right up to this point. Now we judge him on how well he goes on the pitch with his team, of course. But you watch him on Twitter, for example, telling fans to come out and support the club. This is a bloke who, as we know, is a legend of the game, huge profile. It's not beneath him to get on Twitter himself and generate support in the community. And already you see when they won that FFA Cup game against Sydney FC, you had the likes of Steven Gerrard and people in Liverpool congratulating Robbie Fowler on his first win. I mean, the potential of this, if it all goes well, is huge for the game in Australia. News outlets, all of a sudden, press conferences to weigh up. Do we go to this one? Do we go to that one? Robbie Fowler, yeah, right, send a camera there. That's how people think. And that's the gamble they took, let's be honest. Now we wait and see if it pays off. But he's done everything right up to this point, at least.
One more thing. Roy O'Donovan, Aidan O'Neill, Jay O'Shea, Connor O'Toole. Is it going to be Brisbane O'Rourke by the end of the season?
They'll have their post-season drink at Gilhooly's in the centre of the city there.
Yeah.
Past that idiot security guard that never lets you in and scowls at you. Hello to him if he's listening somehow. I don't
think
so.
He's fine with me.
Oh, yeah, he's a great bloke.
Doesn't like you.
Fantastic bloke, no. I actually got a hold of the Stato, Andrew Howe, said, surely this is an Australian record if all these guys play in a starting line. He said, yes, that's the most O's playing in.
Howie knows.
He would know. If there's one person on the planet, it is he. Central Coast Mariners. Again, we're on this theme of coaches. So Robbie Fowler's intriguing for Bake as well, his own different ways. Alan Stajic for a whole raft of reasons. Can he first stabilise this club and then start pushing it in the right direction? I think it's a stretch for them to make the six. That is beyond expectations. But just a little bit of respect, fellas. They just want a little bit of respect back.
Well, if they finish 10th, then that's progress. look, they may well finish a little bit higher up than that. I saw their former star, Patrick Zvonsvik, tipping them to make the finals. Maybe you would say that. But look, I think Stadger's made a good start. They certainly look better organised, a little bit more solid defensively. I thought they were okay against Brisbane Roar. Didn't think they were very good against Hume City in the quarterfinals. But at least, you know, they had a bit of a cup run, which is more than they've done in recent seasons. And they've got a bit of experience there. Ziggy Gordon is a very experienced campaigner. I like two of the foreigners, Kim Unson, who didn't play in the quarterfinal that I call against Hume City. I don't know why, but he looks a good solid defensive midfielder.
Captain of Suwon Blue Wings not that long ago.
Played in the Champions League. I think he got busted for drink driving or something.
And so, got kicked out of the club.
Yeah, that's right. But he looks a good, solid player. Milan Djuric, very cultured, you know, can play with both feet. That typical Balkan deep-lying playmaker, if you like. Mm. He's just got to get up to speed. And they've got one or two exciting talents, particularly Samuel Silvera, who I really like. He's just been put on a full-time contract. So yeah. I think better for the Mariners. But a top six, yeah, maybe the season after this one.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be the laughing stock they have been for the last couple of seasons. Stadge has done everything right so far, and hopefully that carries on. Daniel De Silva's the fascinating one. I just hope he starts to stabilise and shows some of his talent. He's a unique Australian footballer. He's the kind of player that we've seen in the past get lost in Australian football ranks and not quite maximise that talent. I hope it's not the case for him. I think it's pretty much make or break this season for him.
Agree.
If this season goes the same way as last, I don't know where Danny De Silva's going to end up. He's just play at the Mariners. It might not be the club that you envisaged yourself being at when you were coming through as a hotshot 16, 17-year-old, but have a good season with them and then go and evaluate what you want to do. But he's such a talent. I hope he just starts to realise that this season.
Almost the same for Mark Berghetti.
I was just about to say exactly the same thing.
You know, good signing for the Mariners, I think. They had issues between the posts last year, no disrespect to Ben Kennedy. But I think Berghetti is obviously a very good goalkeeper. He's a Socceroo international. He had a terrible year with Melbourne City last year, sat on the bench the whole season. It really needs to relaunch his career. We know he has the talent. And you'd imagine he's going to get a reasonable amount of practice.
He's gone to a right place if he wants to be involved in the game, put it that way. He's not there as a third post. 21 games they've won in the last 5 seasons, Central Coast Mariners. Hopefully it turns around for the sake of their fans in Gosford this season. Let's go to Melbourne City. Higher expectations for Melbourne City. Another new manager comes in, Eric Mombart, who's a fascinating character in his own right and has had a lot to do with youth development at the clubs he's been at. Not to say that he's there to just essentially bring along the kids at whatever club he's at. He's been at Yokohama F. Marinos. You're not there to just blood players when you're at a club as big as that in Japan. He didn't win a trophy there. He had a good time of it, though. But it looks right. Will it be right? We're not sure, because we were told Warren Joyce was the type of manager to bring young kids through. Now, he brought young kids through, but the style wasn't palatable for everyone involved in the end. But Mombart's, is he the circuit breaker for Melbourne City?
Who knows? It feels like if you put Mombart's and Gertjan Verbeek in a room together, they'd either get into fisticuffs and punches or they discuss like astrophysics or something. They're both such...
Hope not for Eric's sake, given Gertjan's a black belt or something, or third Dan or some ridiculous like martial art that he's very, very proficient at. Sorry.
They're both kind of unknown, intriguing football characters, aren't they? We don't know what they'll be able to produce for their respective clubs this season. We do know they've started very well. Both had very good cup runs, of course. So we'll wait and see how Melbourne City go when it comes to translating that into A-League form. Love the signing of Craig Noone. I think that will be the signing of the season. He's coming off some really good football for periods of time in England, played in the Premier League, was very solid in the Championship. I think he'll suit Australian football. I think he'll be an Adam Lafondre-like player this year. He'll just adapt to everything A-League and be a real revelation for the competition. Brillante is a good signing, of course, but the loss of Schenkerville, I think, could hurt them defensively, and that might be the difference between them challenging or just being a team that makes the finals.
And Craig Noone will definitely win something this year. The best Scouse accent in the Hyundai.
What, better than Robbie Fowler?
Better. Oh, it's amazing. It is fantastic.
He was made famous. He scored against Liverpool in an FA Cup game years ago, and they interviewed him afterwards because he's playing for a lower league team. The standard interview, what do you do? What's your day job? Like weeks before, he was tiling Steven Gerrard's roof.
Yeah.
So he is hardcore Scouse.
He's big, big red as well. Yeah. Big Liverpool fan. But yeah, time at Brighton, Cardiff, Bolton. But the way he started with the cup run that Melbourne City have been on and the contribution that he has made, and Jamie McLaren, who is scoring for fun, Simon, at the moment. It's got himself out of a derby, unfortunately for him, first up.
Yeah, but that's a pity.
Wow, he's sharp.
He is. And I like the balance of this Melbourne City side now. I think sometimes last year when you looked at the team that Warren Joyce put out, there were times where you go, where's he playing? Is he going to slot in there, or is he going to play on the other side?
He played seven defensive-minded players at times.
So Harrison, I'll give you one example. Harrison Delbridge last year played at right-back, he played at centre-back. I think he played at left-back.
Yeah, left once.
Maybe defensive midfield, I don't know. This year, he's going to replace Schenkerville along with Curtis Good, and has played very, very well in the cup ties that I've seen. So I think, you know, Mombarts has maybe kept things simple. The other thing I like about City so far, Florent Berenguer was pretty disappointing last year. He seems to be trying to get the best out of him. Why wouldn't he? He's a French coach. Maybe he can talk to him in his own language and, you know, tell him what he needs. The other thing is to give young players an opportunity like Rami Nazarene, who I think is a big talent. Connor Metcalf, wow. What a beast of a player he is in midfield alongside Brillante. Yeah. And he's given him license to get forward, scored a cracking goal in the cup against the Strikers. I think he's going to have a breakthrough season. So the balance of the City side, and we haven't even talked about the two Uruguayans, Cabrera and Luna, but I think they've got a real chance this season. And let's be honest, it's time. This is their 10th season, heartstroke City. It's time they won something other than that cup they did 3 years ago.
They've got themselves into a position the last four seasons, in fact. So they had the first season under the City Football Group. But since then, they finished fourth, third, fifth. 44 points, 39 points, 43 points, 40 points. When's the 50-point season coming?
Absolutely.
They've got a good enough squad on paper. Obviously, it has to wind together. But, yeah, you're right about Connor Metcalf. For me, he's the standout for Young Player of the Year nomination already. I mean, we're sitting here in October. We won't know till May. But went up to him at the launch and said, because Boz has tipped him as Young Player of the Year as well. And if that's not the ultimate kiss of death, I don't know what is. But went up to him and said, mate, few people tipping you for a good season. I've actually said that you're going to be Young Player of the Year. And he just looked at me as if to say, eh, cool. He's got that look about him. So hopefully he does have a good season.
Two other things on Melbourne City. Sorry, Garby. First of all, watch out for a kid called Rafael Borges Rodriguez.
You just want to say
who is the son of Cristiano, who used to play for Adelaide.
Yes.
Which is a great story. And the other thing is a little brickbat for Melbourne City. Now, the CFG has driven the independent A-League. Brilliant. It's about to happen. I just think it would have been nice if they could have brought in a marquee to try and drive the off-field and just get the crowds up a little bit as well. Anyway, maybe they will at some point.
I'll ask you this, right? So Victory, we'll get onto them in a moment, but they'll have Toivonen and Nabut Cruz. Sydney FC will have Barbarousis, Lafondre, and Ninkovic. The Glory will have Fornaroli, Economides, Castro. Melbourne City can match them with Noone and McLaren. It's that third one we you don't know.
The third cog.
Who's the player who can step up and be... Because if they can get that
Nazarene.
Third cog right, maybe Nazarene, who's got a lot of talent. They get that third cog right, they've got an attack for mine that is as good as those big three.
Moody Najjar, who's coming through as well. Anyway, big season ahead for Melbourne City.
Yeah. Was that brickbat in reference to the fact that you're frustrated with their parent club over in Manchester?
Don't bring that up.
Oh, why not?
No.
Maybe have a little mention of Premier League.
Premier League's over.
Yeah, it is.
Finished.
Actually. Yeah.
Listen to them.
Next season.
Listen to them. They beat us in a month. Oh, you thought you had a one, did you?
Back.
Are you going to win it this year, Garvey?
We're not even a quarter of the way through the season. It's basically pre-season still.
Oh, he's see that?
You too.
Straight bat.
You too. Concentrate. Melbourne victory.
That was boycott-esque.
Melbourne victory. Yes. Marco Kurtz. Surprised me, actually, that they went for Marco Kurtz. But now it's kind of settled in and makes a little bit more sense. Kevin Muscat has been there since, the end of 2013-14, Kevin Muscat, when Ange Postecoglou departed, and he's been there ever since. So it's a weird vibe about the club that there's no Muscat.
Been there since day dot.
Around the joint. Yeah, he's part of the furniture. Well, not anymore. But you look at their team in the semi-final against Sydney, that horrible night at Cogra, which I think ended up costing Kevin Muscat his job. The team was Thomas Deng, Donachie, Niedermeyer, Broxham, Baena, Barbaroussis, Antonis, Honda, Toivonen, Cam Sober, with Valeri off the bench. Mm. Niedermeyer, Valeri, Baena, Barbaroussis, Antonis, Honda, gone. That is a massive turnover for a big club. So the players that they have brought in, been really impressed, Garby, by the fact that they brought in Robbie Cruz and Andrew Naboot to play alongside Ola Toivonen. That looks good.
The only big loss for mine is Barbaroussis. The others, I know Honda was integral at times, but he missed a lot of
Antonis?
Football. Antonis is a big loss, yes. That's another one. But the rest have been pretty much replaced, especially Barbaroussis is a big loss, but you bring in Naboot and Cruz. Cruz is a worry with that injury. That's not a good sign on the eve of the season, a little hammy considering his record. Hopefully that's the end of it. But if he starts to become a bit injury prone, well, maybe our hopes for the victory aren't as buoyant as they were maybe a week or so ago. But I think they'll be right up there again. I like the signing of, is it Jakob Poulsen or Jacob?
Jakob
Poulsen.
Yeah.
Dead ball specialist.
Yeah.
Now, Victory fans. Dead ball specialist. Christian Sarkis.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Victory fans will say, well, you told
Danish
us about
Sarkis, they call them.
Victory fans will say, you told us about Sarkis. He didn't score one free kick. Thank you very much. But his highlights reel is very impressive from the dead ball. You're right. Kurz is fascinating. I think as a coach, he's proven enough. It's the other aspect of it with the victory that he didn't have to deal with as much at Adelaide. That will be a question mark. Spoke to someone very high up at the victory, actually at the AFL Grand Final, Simon, when I was there, and we had a good chat. Oh. And they admitted.
What about that for a drop-in? I was swanning about with a bit of Chardonnay. And, oh, who should I bump into?
Is it still going?
Oh, here we go.
No. Let's move on from that, please. But a victory, I won't say who they were, but someone high up admitted that was a concern for them and something they discussed at length, not whether Kurz could coach, but whether he could deal with the extra attention that comes with being the victory coach, where you got more cameras on you, more questions asked of you, more corporates to deal with, and you've got to be on your best behaviour. And that hasn't necessarily been Marco's strong suit at times. He's got to adjust now when he's in that victory suit.
A couple of things about victory. I'd agree. I like the signing of Poulsen and also Migyen Basha, who's apparently having some visa issues.
Just got in yesterday.
He's arrived, has he? Well, that's good to hear. Also, of course, the return of Adama Traore.
Trev. Trev Traore is back. Yes,
years.
Trev.
Great to see that he's back in the A-League. Is he going to be as good or better than he was before? The other thing I'd like to see from victory, that they've been a club that haven't always, brought through a lot of young players. Although Thomas Deng, to be fair, has come through. Cam Sober is not exactly, an old man. But
good reports about him as well, pre-season.
But they've promoted a couple of youngsters. Ben Corrigan, I think Birkin Kurdar is still there. I think there was big raps on him 12 months ago. Maybe it's time for him to fulfil his potential. And two other imports that they've, apart from Basher, who's pretty much an unknown here, Tim Hoogland and Christian Dobras. And they've both got good CVs. But again, are they going to be Bessart Berisha or are they going to be Mario Jardel? And that's the beauty of the A-League at this time of year. We just don't know.
Talking to a couple of the Melbourne Victory guys at the launch, very impressed with Tim Hoogland. Robbie Cruz helped get him out because they were teammates at Bochum. He's played over 50 games in the Bundesliga, spent a lot of time at Schalke, came through the Schalke system, which is probably the best, if not the best, very close to the best academy system over in Germany. He's 34 years of age and, he's come out here to further his career.
I think Delpierre was as well, wasn't he? If he's like him, then he'll be all right.
Yeah, they look like they're trying to get him. As for Andrew Naboot, caught up with him. Great to see him back in the A-League and here's what he had to say at the launch. So back here at the season launch, Andrew Naboot. back in Australia, back with Melbourne Victory, back in these colours. We're standing not far away from when you rocked up in the the roadworkers uniform that Melbourne Victory had that year and came off the bench and scored those goals. So how quickly it all turns, and it's amazing. Your career is it is literally gone full circle now.
Yeah, it has. But nothing surprises me in football anymore. So, but no, it's good to be back, obviously, where I started. And it's just good to be back playing regular football. And for a club like this, obviously it's a new era for us, a new coach, a lot of new players. So, no, it's good to be back. It's good to be back around familiar faces and just to get going again, I guess.
How did it come about? Because you had some time left on your deal at Urawa in Japan, but obviously they were good enough to let you go and come down here and reunite with Melbourne Victory. But these things aren't easy. A few things have to line up. How did it line up?
Yeah, well, my agent basically, I think it was Trimboli came to Japan and spoke with Ange, because obviously they're close. And I think Ange might have mentioned something that I wasn't, playing, or I wasn't getting a chance. So basically Trimmers called my agent and said, would he be interested in coming home? And, I was obviously weighing up a few things about my future. And it was like the perfect timing. My wife was actually really close getting to the point where she couldn't fly anymore. Obviously she's due in now 3 weeks, which is exciting, but she was getting to the point where she couldn't fly anymore, so we basically said that it's probably a good time to come home. And Victory picked up the phone, called me and said we'd love to have you back. So it all lined up. It actually happened really quickly, surprisingly. And Urawa were good enough to let me go and let me get some regular game time again.
So you've come home for a multitude of reasons, football being the main one, but also babysitters.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a lot of babysitters at home now, so Mrs. is going to be happy with that, especially when I'm away. But yeah, that was a big reason in coming back, and obviously coming back to get some regular game time. Arnie was talking to me a lot, asking me what's going on and, why I wasn't playing and that. So I kind of took that as a sign. So we need to be playing in order to stay in the national team. So it was a good chance for me to come back and get another fresh start and hit the ground running.
What's the difference between you as a footballer this time around at Melbourne Victory as opposed to the last time when you left the club?
Well, I've matured a lot. Just an all-round, I've developed so many parts of my game that I didn't have when I left here the first time. And I guess being overseas, it forces you to develop like that because their players are just on a different level. So if you want to stay anywhere near the squad, you have to, kind of push and lift to that level. So it was good to be around those players. Obviously, I improved a lot in every aspect. I'm more powerful, I'm quicker, I'm stronger, and I'm technically, I think, a lot better than what I was, and just my all-round awareness of the game. But that, that comes with, obviously, experience, and I've had a couple of experiences now, so no, it's good. I'd like to think I'm an all-round better player now.
Curly one for you. Was there a Jets clause when you left the Jets, if you were going to come back the A-League or Newcastle, or I'll come back, you guys will have the first crack at me, or you're just free agent, you could go where you wanted to?
No, that was it. Basically, I was a free agent. I did tell Laurie that I probably would go back, but I told him that I would go back, but, circumstances change in football. They change in life. So, anyone who doesn't understand that probably doesn't understand football. So, it changed for us, obviously, with a baby on the way, and, everything lined up for us at Victory. So, just so happened to be the place that I call home now, which was perfect. My missus was missing home a little bit, and so was I, in a sense. So it was good to come back. Obviously, it's there was a lot spoken about the whole Newcastle thing, but it is what it is. It was it's football. Things happen, circumstances change, and we just have to deal with it.
Marco Kurtz, have you got the gist of him yet? Is he pretty forthright in terms of finding out what he's about, or you have to kind of bide your time with him and ease yourself into his style of management?
No, he's pretty direct. He'll tell you what he'll tell you what he wants.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, he's straightforward. He'll tell you what he wants straight from day one, and he'll work tooth and nail to make sure that we work to that strategy. And but he's really good. He's a coach that you can, you're not you have confidence to go and have a chat to him if you need to ask questions. He's that kind of character that he welcomes it. So I've always liked coaches like that. Ernie was a lot like that as well. So it's good for the players to know that, you know, you can go up and have a chat and ask questions whenever you need to. And
there's Nigel Pogar walking past us. Can't even look at you.
No, it's all right.
Are you going to kick the crap out of him?
Hey, had a chance to come home.
You're too quick for him.
I won't go down that path. I'll leave that one alone. But no, Marco's really good. Obviously, it's great to have him and Philip around us. And, it's exciting. It's exciting. We've got a new bunch of boys. And, we've got our new foreign player come in yesterday for the first time, which is good to meet him. And, you know, hopefully he can give us a good solid season as well.
Yeah, cool, mate. Thanks for your time. And, great to have you back in Australia and back in the A-League.
Cheers, mate.
It was interesting when Nigel Pogar walked straight past Nevert then and slipped in there. I thought you were going to come back with us. There was that gentleman's agreement there.
Yeah.
So it's fair enough that he's gone back there. He wants family around when he's having his own family, and I can totally understand that. And it's just great to have him back in the league.
Great to have him back alongside with Robbie Cruz on the other wing, Ola Toivonen. I cannot wait to see what this guy produces second season in. I think I sat here this time last year and said he's the best credentialed player we've ever had in the A-League. What I mean by that is, yes, he's not Del Piero or Dwight York or Robbie Fowler, but we've got a player coming off scoring at a World Cup for Sweden against Germany. I don't think we've had an import of that stature in terms of being around the peak of his game ever before, and he showed it for large parts of last season. Now he's got the captain's armband, first international captain of the club. That, of course, puts a lot more responsibility on his shoulders. I think he tears it up, absolutely tears it up this year.
So much change around the Hyundai A-League this season with coaches and personnel, but Newcastle looks similar, that not a total difference to what they were last season. They brought in five players or so and let a few go. Joey Champness is a massive blow that he's decided to go over in hip-hop over in LA, and good luck to him, but they didn't get anything in return for that, unfortunately, Newcastle Jets. But Ernie Merrick, I won't say he'll have to be a magician, but he'll have to have a very, very clear thought out plan about what he's going to do with this squad, because unfortunately for him, a lot of the plans in an attacking sense would have been centered around Wes Houlihan, who looked to be hit the ground running.
Very good.
Playing well in the cup, and then bang, his ankle goes and gone for 3 months.
That's the problem. And it's not just Houlihan either. They've got Ben Kantarovsky out, at least for the first round of the season, maybe a bit longer. Kane Shepherd's maybe out for the rest of 2019. Arroyo's carrying a bit of a hamstring injury. And you talk about pedigree. I mean, Arroyo's come, he played for Panama at the last World Cup in Russia. So, you know, good credentials. I saw him in the cup against Edgeworth Eagles. He looked pretty handy.
He beat England 1-0 actually that day.
He did.
He came off the bench when it was 6-0.
That's right.
It was 6-1.
Yeah, they improved massively after he came on. He's got that little bit of an injury problem as well. So, yeah, I think you're right. Newcastle do look a little bit samey. And Ernie Merrick, though, is a wily old coach, and he very, very rarely misses the finals two seasons in a row. So I think given the budget cuts at Newcastle, I don't think it's any secret that, you know, Martin Lee has got some financial issues. And
thanks to Trump.
Newcastle are feeling the pinch tariffs a little bit. You know, it's going to have to be a masterclass in coaching from the old maestro, I think, to
You're
get
right.
to the finals.
He's never missed the finals twice in a row. I do feel he's got something up his sleeve. But, Garby, you're not totally convinced?
I'm worried about the Jets massively. I agree. It was all about Wes Houlihan to provide the Irish Messi magic. And now that he's out,
Irish Messi,
where's it going to come from? You know, Vargas is not there anymore. Jair didn't fire, but at least you looked at the team list last season. You went, is this the week he does something? You look at the team list now and
Dimi Petratos has to have a big season.
It's his
massive
team.
Massive season.
It's his team. He's wearing the number 10.
Yep.
Massive season.
Okay, he's known as a very talented player, but when does he go, this is all about me and I'm going to make it all about me?
Have some attitude on the pitch.
Like, it's just, I'm going to be so consistent. He was a couple of seasons ago.
He went to Russia.
Yeah.
It's part of the World Cup
fantastic
squad.
Fantastic season. But now he's his opportunity. It's basically, I don't have to, because when Vargas was there, he had to move around positions and accommodate him. If he wants to be a number 10 with the number 10, and make it his
team. This is his season.
This is him. This is his season. He's in the Socceroos squad now, which is great for him. He doesn't miss a game because they have the bye the first round. Matt Miller as well. Garby, it's great to see him do what he did last season out of South Melbourne, where he was playing very, very well. Picked out of the NPL by Mike Mulvey, and fair play to the Mariners for getting him and furthering his career this time. Matt Miller is hopefully going to have a big season, and all his family, all 10 of his brother and sisters can be he's one of 10.
Amazing.
It's all right.
One of 10.
And he's got the most normal name out there, Matt Miller.
Yeah, well, I think they've just run out of names, didn't they? Started going around a second lap, Matt the second.
Nick Fitzgerald on his day can give him something from the flank. He fell out with Warren Joyce and was basically discarded at City, so he gets another crack at it now, but... Yeah, Arroyo, we'll wait and see. I feel like we're stretching here to try and find some positivity about the Jets.
Nick Fitzgerald's an interesting one, isn't he? Because on his day, I think he's a real talent. And there was a little period of time at Melbourne City where he started the season on fire. And I thought, finally, we're going to see the best of Nick Fitzgerald.
Him and Kamau.
And it just sort of fizzled out. And then he went to the Wanderers, didn't happen for him at the Wanderers. I think this is his fifth A-League club now. Again, same with Dimi Petratos. Yeah. Different reasons, but, you know... Now's his stage. And I know that Ernie Merrick says it's about giving players confidence. And so maybe Nick Fitzgerald is one of those players.
Best thing they did in pre-season is that unveiling of that flag.
Laurie McKenna and Joel Griffiths.
Laurie McKenna and Joel Griffiths. That was unbelievable.
Well played.
McKenna's that still, is what we want.
McKenna's still got it in for Charlesworth. He's still just got
great A banter.
Perth, before we talk about Perth, let's hear from one of the big stories of the season that's upon us. That's Bruno Fornaroli, back playing football, which is great for all to see. Maybe not for opposition central defenders, but we'll wait and see about this one. Caught up with Bruno at the season launch. I'd like to say I'm standing here with Bruno Fornaroli, but looking at him, I'm only seeing half of Bruno Fornaroli. Did you leave the other half in Melbourne, did you?
Yeah, you know, Papa stay now. So, yeah.
You run.
Yeah, I run a lot. In hard pre-season, last 4 months. But I feel well. I feel well, ready to start.
Mate, seriously, you look in unbelievable shape. But is this the best you felt before a season in a long time?
Yeah, actually, yeah. It's the best pre-season I do here, because the way we train here, come early this year also, and I prepare myself, you know, Popa pushed me a lot, so everyone knows him, and the way that he went to training, and it's hard, but made sense, so I'm happy to follow him and the team.
Why did you choose Perth? You maybe had a few options. I don't know if you had a few options, but you obviously wanted to get out of Melbourne City. Why Glory?
Yeah, because of him. He called me in the middle of the problem. And in that moment, you know, everyone wait or ask what happened. He never asked me what happened. He say, I know you like a person first. So he said to me, I want you to start to enjoy again the football. And this is what I need in that moment. So I feel happy now. I feel ready to start, and I can't wait like before, you know. So it's great for me because I have that feeling when I come here the first time. So I can't wait.
I remember your first season here when you linked up with Aaron Moy, and it was a beautiful partnership. Are we expecting the same with you and your little Spanish mate Diego Castro? Is there a combination there already that's working?
Yeah, it's a good combination. Yeah, Diego is top player, top. I know before he's a good player, but now when I have, I can see every day what he's doing inside the field is amazing. So we try to do some combination. Also have great players in front. You know, Chris Conomi is too. Great season last year, and I think we have a chance to score some goals this year.
I think so as well. It's great to have you back. I remember 12 months ago we did a podcast, a chat, and last year turned to shit. So hopefully this doesn't happen again and everything is fine this season.
Yeah, if this is not changed, next year we don't talk. So, yeah, I hope this too for both.
Good. Thanks, Bruno. Good luck.
Right, thank you very much, Arthur. Thank you.
I'm not kidding. Half of him has vanished. he's been popified. basically. He's.
I need to sign for Perth Glory.
Yeah, mate. I need to move back there permanently.
Didn't want to go into too much about what happened with Joyce. I think it's irrelevant to now because it looks like he's totally moved on. And interesting where he said that when Popper called him when he was going through that mess with Warren Joyce and Melbourne City, he didn't ask once what happened. He didn't want to know Tony Popovich. Yeah. That is how much confidence he has got in his own coaching ability. Okay, if you want to come and play, you know the terms and conditions. Just talk to anyone in the league that's played under me. You know the terms and conditions. This is what I'm going to improve you, but you've got to come along with me. And, it looks like Bruno's been listening so far. He hasn't played a game in the A-League yet, but he looks set for a big one.
And there were so many theories around Fornaroli, and one of them was that he was overweight and Joyce wouldn't play him unless the skin folds dropped. Isn't it amazing how one coach, you can fall out with him off that, but another one can get you to drop it all? You know, I mean, that's the brilliance of Popper and what sorts out the best from the rest. The worry for Glory is some of their departures, three big ones, and all in that back four. Shane Lowry is an enormous loss. For mine, the most underrated player last season, hugely unlucky not to make a Socceroos squad. Replacing him, not only as a player, but as a leader in that team, I think it will be very difficult. Davidson as well, and then Spiranovic, who just hasn't come back. You know, is what Matt's...
What's going on with Matt Spiranovic?
He's chilling out in Croatia, apparently.
Yeah, he's cruising there.
Kick him back.
I don't know. That's a shame, but...
They've tried to get him back. I know that.
Doors massively. Open. Doors well
as are other clubs right now. Look, James Meredith is a very good replacement for Jason Davidson, but you had a team that was so well-drilled last season, and now you've had a lot of change in that back four. That's the concern with Perth.
Yeah, Meredith, out of the grand final, Davidson, Lowry, Spiranovic are the only three starters from the grand final that are no longer at the club. Keogh, Sandilab, Neville, gone. But you look at the players that he's brought in, Simon. Okay, he's brought in Fornaroli, D'Agostino as well, an attacking player. The rest are defensive-minded players. So he wants a lot of cover at the back.
Yeah.
Because Djulbic as well, I think he did his ACL in the grand final, I read.
But he's re-signed.
Yeah, he's re-signed, but he played with it.
And Michella will get more game time, obviously, this season. The unknowns are Gregory Vutrich, I think that's how you pronounce it, who, you know, he's 24, played in the Swiss Super League. So on paper, at least, that's a very good signing. I have to confess I don't know an awful lot about Kim Soo Bom. And, of course, Riley Warland's come back from Fulham as well. Jacob Tratz, Dane Ingham, they can all slot into the back four. But I'm with Garby. You know, the big strength of Perth last year, well, they had a lot of strengths last year, but one of the big turnarounds last year was the fact that they were so solid defensively, and that back three system suited them down to a T because Franich and Davidson had the engines to get up and down, up and down, and Scott Neville, when he replaced Franich on one flank. Now, this season, James Meredith is what, 30, is he 29, 30?
31.
I haven't seen James Meredith play consistently. Does he have that engine to get up and down? Can he offer the same sort of service going forward as Davidson did? Can he offer the same sort of defensive cover going back the other way that Davidson did? So that's a big question mark for me, alongside the fact that we just don't know what these two other imports will bring. That's the negative. The positive is, I agree with you, he's obviously shown a lot of faith in Fornaroli because he's been happy to let Andy Keogh go off to the Middle East. So that's a big show of faith in Bruno Fornaroli, along with Chris Economides, Diego Castro and Chianese and one or two others in reserve. They've got plenty of goals in them still, Perth. It's just whether they're going to be quite as solid as last year.
Bruno Fornaroli, last time he played with a high-quality number 10, he scored 25 goals in 29 games.
With Aaron Moy.
Aaron Moy.
Yeah.
He's got Castro. Castro stays fit.
And Economides. I mean, keeping him is huge.
Yeah.
Hopefully has another big year and then goes into Europe and signs at a big club,
Had offers.
No doubt.
But
he's
not
happy
the right
in Perth.
Ones.
He's dating some supermodel, as he'll show you all over his Instagram. And he's loving life. Like, you know, he's just really happy.
Good on him.
And I think he knows another good year, keep enjoying life, and then wait for that big move. Nothing against going to Asia, but you don't need to go there when you're young and you're probably earning good money anyway and in the Socceroos. Wait for that big move or else just stay and be happy in the West.
Sydney FC, there's a fair bit of familiarity with what they've put together as a squad, especially considering the players that they have brought in. They're big-name players, are players that have been here already, which is a little unusual for the A-League. And they've brought in Bum Yohan and also Barbarousas, the two big signings, and Luke Bratton as well. But Alex Brosk, the Brosk factor, the stuff we don't see, the stuff in the dressing room at training. This is the great unknown, the only unknown for me about Sydney FC this season.
I agree with that. And I think that's why when I spoke to Steve Corica a week or two back now, he told me that he was very keen to keep Brosk involved almost on a day-to-day basis. He wants, excuse me, Alex around the club to mentor some of the younger players and to tell them what it means to play for the club and, you know, how they should behave, all that sort of stuff, and to give them, obviously, tips on the pitch as well. Mm. I have to say, I don't think Sydney FC have lost that much, to be honest, apart from Brosk. I think Barbarous is a very good signing, not least cause for them. It'll probably wind up Melbourne Victory more than anything else. Same with Bam Johan for the Wanderers. I don't think we saw the best of him at Western Sydney. I think Luke Bratton is an interesting one because, of course, the Berlanti-O'Neill combination has been broken up. Does that change the way they play slightly?
It's a different player.
Bratton's a slightly different type of player to Berlanti. Ryan McGowan, I think, will add to them defensively. So, yeah, they've lost De Jong. They've lost Reza Gurshanajat. Did they really perform to the levels they're capable of? I'm not sure they did, to be honest. You can say the same, sorry to say it, for Danny De Silva. So, I think Sydney FC look pretty solid. Again, my rider to that is I would have liked them to have brought in a marquee. They normally do, but it seems that the whole league is not going down that road this year. I get how difficult it is. I know they're very expensive. They don't always deliver. Sim De Jong probably didn't deliver as much as they wanted, but you know, sometimes I think we have to look at the bigger picture, and the A-League could have done with one or two.
Can Alex Bumyohan be the Eric Cantona of the A-League? And I mean that in the sense, no.
Wow, he's going to go karate chopping.
Not in
fans
that sense. No, people, calm down. He is not the quality of Eric Cantona. But I mean in the sense that Cantona had that 1 year at Leeds. For whatever mind-blowing reason, they let United buy him for £1 million and the rest is history for the rest of the Premier League, basically, up until now when United
are... until last weekend at St James's Park.
When they are absolutely useless.
But thank you very much.
For the Fergie era, Cantona was the man that started it all. I'm not saying that Johan will be at Sydney FC for a few years, but that 1 year at the Wanderers, we saw the talent. Babel decided he's not for him. Corrick has said, we'll have that talent, thank you very much. Could he be the man that catapults Sydney to another title? Just wonder if it'll be that sort of story. He's got the ability...
Yeah, he was frustrated last year watching him at close quarters on the sideline. You saw the frustration sometimes because he sees things quickly. He's that type of player that those around him weren't seeing the same things that he was seeing. Does he have that now? Yeah.
What he has now is two solid defensive midfielders behind him, O'Neill and Bratton. He didn't have that at the Wanderers. It's been the weakness of that team. We always said, where's the spine? Where are the players that hold it all together? That solidity behind him, and they can just say, you just do your thing. Don't worry, we've got you covered. Yes, get back in position, but don't worry about us losing the ball and getting turned because we've got the two nightclub bouncers, as we call them. Used to be Berlanti and O'Neill, but Bratton can do the job, and he can just play with freedom as a number 10.
Tell you what, that round three derby is going to be tasty, isn't it? Oh. Bankwest Stadium. Oh. When he runs it, if you think veteran Janjetovic got a bit of courage, you reckon Bam Johan's going to cop some? Wow.
Yeah. It's big season again for Sydney FC, and they'll be dirty that they went out so early in the cup. Bit to prove. We know their players. We know their calibre. They'll be thereabouts. Wellington Phoenix, a little unknown. So off the bench at Sydney FC, next to Steve Corica and into the main seat at Westpac Stadium is Ufi Talle. And, yeah, it's an interesting squad he's cobbled together. He's got some players that, I mean, you could have said the same last season about what Mark Rudin did with Wellington Phoenix. But, yeah, some of these guys, that former Manchester City player and David Ball, who's he looks a bit of a player. Ulysses De Villa, who's come out of South America mainly, but Mexican player, and they're young Kiwis. They're pretty happy with themselves over in New Zealand, given what their under 20s did at the World Cup. They've done well to keep hold of Libby Kakache, because he had a great World Cup. He had a fantastic season last year, and that was taking into consideration he had to stop a little bit of his season because he was doing his exam. So Mark Rudin gave him a couple of weeks off to concentrate on his studies. Now it's all about football. This kid could make huge strides.
And I'll throw another name into the mix. Paul Eiffel reckons that Callum McCourt is, if anything, as good as Sarpreet Singh. Cool. So if he lives up to that billing, he'll be some player. However, my fear for Wellington is they've lost not only Sarpreet Singh, but also David Williams, and in particular, Roy Krishna. Now, that's three players who scored an awful lot of goals and provided assists as well last season. Are the players that have been brought in as good as or better than that? I don't know. I think it's a bit of a concern. Allied to that, they've lost the league's best goalkeeper in Filip Kurto. Stefan Marinović, I'm sure, is a very good goalkeeper. Is he as good as Kurto? Luke De Veer on paper is a good signing. Does his body hold up to replace that experience of Andy Durante in the heart of defence? I think there's a few question marks against Wellington Phoenix. That's not to say they can't overcome them. And I wish Ufi Tale all the best because I think he's a terrific fella. But I'm not sure about the Knicks. What about you, Garby?
The losses are too great. They're too great. Singh, Kurto, Krishna were their three best last season, along with Kakache. Max Burgess gave them a lot last season as well. In the second half of the campaign, he's gone as well. Williams, you mentioned. Yeah, there's young talent there. Ben Wayne's another one. Watched him against the Glory, I think, second last game of the season. He showed a lot of talent. But, you know, I'm not going to do the old Alan Hansen, you can't win it with kids, which came back to bite him on the backside famously many years ago in the UK. But, you know, there's just they've lost too much. It's far too much experience.
It is so typical of the A-League for Wellington to go into a season where you're not quite sure about them. Mm. So you'll just go, you know what, the spoon.
Everybody tips Wellington for the spoon. They're used to it.
If they kept Kurto, Krishna, Singh, Burgess, Williams, you'd probably say they're a finals team. They've just lost too much.
Yeah, they've provided more Johnny Warren medalists in the A-League era than any other club.
Wow.
Yeah.
Burns, Smelts. Krishna. Hmm. Not bad. Not bad.
Maybe they'll
Not
find
bad.
Another one this year.
Western Sydney Wanderers. Wanderers. Bankwest, as you said, Simon. Wow. How good is it going to be? But what does a ground do for a club? What did it do for you sitting here? Your club changed grounds most recently out of all our clubs from Main Road to the City of Manchester Stadium.
But City weren't playing in the middle of an AFL ground. That's the difference. That has changed venue. I mean, that's been such a burden for the Wanderers to get past.
It has. There's no doubt about that. I've been out to the new stadium. I've not seen it full of supporters yet, certainly not Wanderers fans, but it looks great. I think it will give them a real boost. But they've still got to do it on the pitch. They've got this wonderful training facility as well now that they've constructed, you know, and pretty costly as well. If anything, it's probably even better than Melbourne City's, which is saying something.
Yeah.
However, there is a little bit of concern about them on the pitch, albeit with the rider that... when I saw them against Melbourne City in the Cup, Perman Schwegler didn't play. Majewski did and was probably their best player. Mm. He's now got a season-ending injury, which is a real pity. Dylan McGowan looked a little bit short of a gallop. And, of course, Matt Yerman and Alexander Meyer weren't ready to play. So, you know, there's a few experienced players to come in which will improve the team, but and some very promising young kids. I'm just not sure yet whether they're at the level where they can challenge the Sydneys, the Melbourne Victories, the Perth Glories for the big honours. But I think they'll have a better season. I think if they can get into the finals this year, that will represent decent progress.
I'm quite bullish on the Wanderers being a top four side.
Ooh,
I think they'll really jump up. I'm not sure about winning it, but I think they'll really jump up. You know, look at the outs, right? Oriel Riera knew at the start of last season he was leaving. He'd basically checked out mentally at the beginning of the campaign.
Still scored 10 plus
goals.
He
applied himself, but he knew, you know, I'm not going to be here at the end of this campaign. Bam-Yohan was never really guaranteed under Marcus Babbel. Josh Risden was gone to Western United halfway through the season. There was so much turnover and uncertainty about the direction of the club off the field with the stadium, on the field with player contracts. Babbel didn't want half these guys. He wanted to mould his own squad. Now he's done it. I think Matty German is a huge signing. Is someone who knows the A-League and is at his peak right now. Alex Meyer's interesting, a former Bundesliga top scorer 4 or 5 years ago. Imagine we brought a Premier League Golden Boot winner from 5 years ago into the A-League. It'd be enormous. So, okay, we don't know what he's going to be able to produce, but
he could be the closest,
there,
along with Diamante and Kone, to a marquee, a true marquee that we've got this year. But unfortunately, because people here don't watch as much of the Bundesliga, he's not that big a name,
exactly,
is he? Certainly a big enough player.
But this...
He's a unit.
Big boy.
And yet, strangely enough, not great in the air.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Cool, his feet.
Scores a lot of... for a big man. He scores a lot of goals with his feet.
But the stadium, I think, will be enormous for him. That support.
I'm not convinced.
Okay.
And I'm really worried about that number 10 position now.
With Majewski gone.
Majewski gone. Whew. And that, I mean, where are you going to find something like that in October? Are you going to find something he's going to look like a dumpling and you'll have to get him to run for 4 weeks and try and bring him up to speed. January, maybe they can bring someone in. We're 12 games in then. It's imperative, absolutely imperative, that they do not concede goals at home. And if that place gets a bit of a reputation as for other teams as we can go there and make things difficult, because it can swing both ways. I've seen it very much at St James's Park in the last 5-6 years. If things aren't going well, all of a sudden it swings the other way. So, it's massive that at the back in particular, where they had so many worries last season, Western Sydney Wanderers are making so many stupid mistakes that they don't become that early on in their new home.
He's brought in his own man at the back in Daniel Lopar in goals. So Janjetovic, who, again, another player he didn't want, who knew that Babel didn't want him last season and made mistake after mistake, he's been cast aside, Lopar in. So he's done it his way at least this season, Marcus Babel. And credit the owners, they've given him free rein. Now it's up to him to produce. I think they'll be a final side.
As Paul Lederer says, no excuses.
Yep. Western United. Wow, it's some experience on this list first up for Western United. This squad has got an average age of about 32, I reckon.
It's almost the antithesis of the Wanderers, because the talent's there. Their first 11 and the coach and everything's great, but for them it's the crowd factor. How much is that going to hurt them? Let's be honest, they're not going to have good crowds. And if they do, it'll be at Cadinia Park for most of the time, where it'll get lost a bit in an AFL ground. How much is that going to hurt them? It's almost the, you know, the complete contrast to the Wanderer story.
Yeah, that's my big fear for them as well. To be honest, on the pitch, I don't have that many worries about them. I think they could easily challenge for the top six, maybe even a little bit higher. You look at the quality that they've got in there, not just talking about the foreigners, Diamante, Coney, Berisha, of course, all top quality players you can throw into that mix. Scott McDonald as well. If those four can stay fit and fire, then there's plenty of goals in that team. Further back, Josh Risden, you know, battling with Ryan Grant for the Socceroos right back position. Connor Chapman returning. Aaron Calver had a good finish to the season with Sydney FC. And I'm fascinated to see Sebastian Pasquale, because we haven't seen him for a few. I mean, we only saw him briefly with Melbourne Victory when he did make the breakthrough in the A-League. So I think there's some real talent, and not to mention the fact, of course, they've got the best goalkeeper in the league in Philip Curto as well. So I'm not worried about them in the slightest on pitch. I'm with Garby. How many people are going to come and watch them? That's up to the club to try and, you know, build that fan base. It's going to be tough playing at that 36,000 oval open stadium in Geelong. Once they get their new stadium, brilliant.
Fantastic.
It's going to be tremendous. Yeah. But those first 3 years could be a bit of a struggle off the pitch. On the pitch, I think they'll be fine.
They got beaten 6-0 by Melbourne Victory not that long ago. That ain't normal. That is not normal. And I don't know where you could dance around it and say, oh, well, they had 6 shots in the whole game and they scored off all 6 of them. Still, you got pumped 6-0. That's hard to get out of my head. I'm not saying that that's going to define their season, define the start to their season, but it's just, you look at their players that they've assembled, and Mark Rudin, outstanding year with Wellington Phoenix last year, and you know what he's about. You think, okay, yeah, they've got something on the boil here. But then that happens, and it just puts a little seed of doubt into how it's all going to come together for Western United. So hopefully it does. I mean, yeah, it'll be big if they can get it right straight away, and then next season, can MacArthur do what Western United did? That'll be the storyline right there. But, it's tough to put a line totally through any of these clubs this season. And we do say that a fair bit, but the signings that some of the teams that you might have expected to struggle have just, again, there's a seed of doubt put in your head and you go, this is really hard to line up.
I think it's the most difficult one to pick for many years.
Yeah.
I think normally you can look at the off-season recruitment, as I did with Perth last year, and you thought, Perth are going to be strong this year. You know that they're going to be up near the top. They might not win it, which, of course, in the end they didn't, but you know they were going to be very strong. This year it seems to be a lot more even across the board, which theoretically is a good thing.
Well, agree.
That's how I feel about Melbourne Victory, about Perth last season, about Melbourne Victory this season, about the signings that they made. So I got them
on top. So you're
going
Victory, are you?
I'll go Victory. My six in no particular order. I'll put Victory on top to win the grand final, but the six to make the six. I'll go Victory, Perth, Sydney, City, Brisbane, and Garby, don't fall off your chair, Newcastle.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow. That's a surprise.
I was thinking he's got something. I don't know. It's just a hunch looking at his record. Like, never missed the finals two seasons in a row. He's got something up his sleeve.
I'm going to go Melbourne City.
To win it.
To break their duck. Yeah, it's a big call.
That's a brave one. A massive call.
Yeah, it is. But I'm sticking the neck out. I'm going to go for Sydney FC in second place because they normally perform. And then in no particular order to make up the six, Victory, Perth, Adelaide. And I'm going to throw a little curveball in as well and say Western United.
Okay.
Interesting. I've got Victory on top as well.
Yep.
Just from Sydney. I've been playing with those two in my mind for the last week or so. As you can see, I've got a lot of amazing things going on in my mind, but that's what I've been thinking about. But
you've just got engaged. Shouldn't be thinking about that.
Just listen to the Fox Football podcast, I can assure you. I'm safe.
Candles for the bridal table.
Yeah. It's Victory or Sydney for me, but I've gone Victory on top. Sydney second. Perth third. I think they'll be solid enough, but the loss of Lowry just drops them back a bit. Wanderers in fourth. Then Melbourne City fifth. And I've gone for Brisbane to make the finals. Just ahead of Western United, who I was jostling with those two. Adelaide can also jump up, but I reckon Robbie Fowler's got a good thing going there and they'll just sneak in for sixth.
Young Player of the Year, Connor Metcalf, as mentioned. Player of the Year, I'll go Diamante.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I was going to go Diamante as well.
Yeah, well.
I will go then.
We can both be right.
Who shall I go for? Go on, Garby, you go. I'll have to think about that.
My young player of the year is also Metcalf, so I'll mention someone else. I think Nick D'Agostino at Perth can have a big campaign. He's got a lot of talent.
He's dropped 4 kilos.
Well, there you go. I was going to say.
I spoke to him.
He always looked like he was carrying a bit at Brisbane. Put him in Popper's regime. He'll probably trim down a bit and off the bench sort of option who will play when others are out and I think do quite well.
Well, he's going to shuffle around, isn't he, Popper?
Yeah.
We know that when he plays Champions League, you're going to have exactly eight changes a game.
I think D'Agostino is one that will pop up as a young player in Australian football. Excited to see what he can do. Player of the Year, Ola Toivonen. I reckon he'll separate himself from the rest of the season and watch out.
Al Hassan Toure for Young Player of the Year and Player of the Year, given that I've tipped Melbourne City to win it, Craig Noon.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You've tipped City to win it because they're not going to win anything else anywhere in the world. We've got to mention it.
That's
now.
Too big.
We're going to
That's
talk about it now. Big. Are you gone? Are you G-A-W-N?
They are not gone.
Look, the only thing I'll say is last year Liverpool were 10 points ahead at Christmas and still didn't win it. So
when
there's
a
long way to go.
It was seven points.
Well, it's eight, so it's similar.
We played even game.
There's a long way to go. But I do think that City have got an issue defensively. And to be honest, it wasn't just that against Wolves, who played very, very well, played us off a treat, on the break in particular. Those central defensive areas, when you've got Otamendi and Fernandinho as your only real first-choice central defenders, they missed a trick in not replacing Vincent Kompany.
Yeah.
Stones and Laporte will be back, but not for a while. So there's a problem there. Mendy is never fit on the left-hand side. So essentially, they've got a bit of a makeshift defence. And more importantly than that, against Wolves, they didn't create anything. Mm. And that's because Wolves defended magnificently, filled all the gaps, and City just didn't have the answer. It's very rare that happens, but they didn't.
And after a three-day turnaround after playing in Turkey as well from Wolves, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing performance.
Yep.
It's 8 points. Liverpool have got United. Okay, they should win that, but it's away from home after the break.
That's a three-pointer.
They should win that.
Spurs, and then they've got City. Look, City win that game. It's back to five with a lot of time before Christmas, never mind the end of the season. So it's still very early days. But one thing about Liverpool this year, last year it got to Christmas time and you went, oh, it's still a lot to play out. If the Reds have got a lead like this come Christmas, no excuses. They've got what they've done last season, winning the Champions League, just close it out. But there's enough time between now and
then. Fair bottle job if they don't.
Oh, yeah. Then fair enough. Then all the jokes and all that are justified. But if we do win it, then all the jokes are finished, which will be great. And they're all done for.
Can you imagine?
For eternity.
Eternity.
Commemorative.
For another 30 years.
Ski rings.
What about Matty Longstaff?
Aye, Matty Longstaff.
Eh?
Wasn't he going to go to United or was that Sean?
That's Sean. Yeah. Sean's the better player. Sean's a gun. But he's been a
little
bit injured.
And United balked at the asking price.
Yeah, right? Typical Mike Ashley. They said, oh, yeah, you can get him for 35. Call back 3 days later, 50. So they went, nah. So, yeah, he's going to be an outstanding player.
This United are in all sorts, aren't they?
Oh, they're past.
That's the understatement. I mean, they're a
postulating.
They're a legitimate mid-table team. That's not a throwaway line.
Yeah.
They're a legitimate mid-table
team. I've seen some people actually asking the question, could they be relegated? I don't think that's going to happen, in all honesty. But they're only 2 points out of the drop zone.
I'll never forget the first season under David Moyes, when it started to fall apart. Gary Neville sat there on Sky Sports in the UK and said, we knew it would be tough without Fergie. Well, guess what? Here we are. It's tough. I don't think anyone thought it would be this bad.
Do they have to stick with him, though?
Ollie?
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to move him on. Not that it's his fault. The problem's not him. I mean, he might be out of his depth. The issue's up the top. Look at Ed Woodward, who's a finance man. He's not a football man. Look at the way City operate with the City Football Group and the former Barcelona people they've put in there. Look at Liverpool with the Fenway Sports Group and the intellect they've got in there. And then you've got, you know, Ed Woodward, who doesn't have the football now, is running everything. You know, Fergie used to run that entire club, not just that first team. He ran everything. We know that. Youth development, transfers, the dressing room, the people above it. Nothing got done without Fergie. And since he's gone, people don't really know how to do their jobs to the standard that Man United require.
I'll tell you what, at the moment, I reckon Pochettino would walk the entire length of the motorway that separates, well, there's two or three that separate London and Manchester to have that job, because he's got his own issues at Tottenham. Yeah. And I think that's a marriage made in heaven, to be honest. So as a City fan, I hope it doesn't happen.
Big week on Fox Sports this week with football. We've got a round table on Wednesday night, and then the Socceroos against Nepal. And big news about Nepal. You've got an article up on the website.
Yes. Nepal, look, they might not put up much of a fight on the pitch, although their fans will hope they will. And talking to their fans, there's going to be a lot of them in Canberra.
Really?
I'm told that they sold their 5,000 allocation within an hour, and they've gone back for a second batch and maybe even more. They're talking between 8,000 and 10,000.
Wow.
There is apparently 100,000 Nepalese living in Australia, and most of them are in Western Sydney, and they're all going down en masse.
How good.
And they're going to create one hell of a racket
brilliant.
On Thursday night, which will be brilliant.
Yeah, I'm heading there tomorrow. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Apparently it's actually Nepal.
It is Nepal.
Yes. Yep. We say Nepal in Australia, but it's actually Nepal. Nepal. Yeah. I learned that this week. And that's how Graham Arnold will be pronouncing their names. We've all been told.
And it's actually Daniel Garib. You almost had that for a second, didn't you?
What?
looking forward to it. I mean, we should put a cricket score on, but, you know, a chance for people in Canberra to watch Aaron Moy and Matty Ryan and our best talents. We've got our best squad. There's no one missing.
One more fact to get about Nepal.
Yeah.
Did you know they have their own football association in Western Sydney with 25 clubs and close to 1,500 players?
Yeah, good.
And some of the clubs are called the Himalayan Yaks. And the Gurkha Spurs. It's fantastic. I mean, who knew? But they're mad. In total contrast to the rest of South Asia, we know India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, you know, they're more cricket nations than football, although they love football as well. But Nepal is a football country. Wow. They are mad for it.
Outstanding. And then on Friday night, we're at Cooper Stadium for Adelaide United Sydney FC to start the season. And then on Saturday night, it's the start of the Bankwest era for Western Sydney Wanderers at 5 p.m. Eastern against Central Coast Mariners on match day Saturday, then the Melbourne Derby. And then on Sunday, the return of Roods to the Cake Tin. Wellington Phoenix, Western United, and then Perth Glory, Brisbane Roar, Newcastle Jets with the bye. And as for podcasts, the little program, you two fine gentlemen, plus special guests each week will be doing the Monday thing.
That's it.
Reviewing. And then myself and Robbie Slater and whoever else on a Wednesday that I can cobble together will be coming in.
Has Bozza pulled out?
No, Bozza comes in occasionally when he wants to.
Right, okay. Yeah. Chooses his own hours,
fair enough. Yeah, that's it. Gents, good luck with the organisation of the wedding, Garby.
See, more, I think there's more pressure on me than the owners to get the A-League right this year, but it'll be interesting.
Have you had the tap on the shoulder for the best man job yet, Adam? Or?
Nah.
No?
No,
me either.
Yeah.
He opens up enough envelopes, mate.
Must be Phil Pryor, that's true.
Phil's got it covered.
Best of luck with your nuptials, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, best
of luck. Long way to go.
I thought that was a nod to what I'm about to do. I've got Garby.
You can't say this on the podcast.
Well, I've got an appointment with a doctor about a vasectomy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
As in terms of...
You should have done that about 6 years ago.
How Simon views VAR, I now view my reproductive organs. Get rid of it. So, yeah, that's
so when's that being done?
I don't know yet.
To be fair, you have You've done your bit.
Yeah, I know. I've populated enough. So
Four? You got four?
Yeah, four.
That's stumps time.
Yeah, that is stumps officially soon. That's stumps.
Well, they will be soon.
Yes, exactly. There'll be cricket pulls for a while. Anyway, looking forward to that. Looking forward to the season. Beautiful way to end the discussion.
Good old Chew Ties Peacock over there.
Yeah, exactly. Gents, look forward to the season. How good. Football's back.
Yes.
Can't wait for it. Brilliant. Cheers, Garby. Cheers, Jaffa.
Thanks, guys.
Fox Football Podcast back next week.